And through that church partnership, God began to do things in our heart and in our life that really just propelled us to the front line. So we stepped out of the pastorate in 2007, and we had to found Link Up Missions because the way that or what God had put on our heart couldn't be facilitated through any other avenue. So we just felt like God was wanting us to do it this way, and He led us to establish and found Link Up Missions. Now, Link Up Missions is an acronym. It stands for Linking International Needs with the Church's Untapped Power. Now, the natural question that you're going to have is, what is the church's untapped power? And I'm so glad you asked that question. The church's untapped power, we believe, is sitting resident in pews of churches all throughout this great land of ours. Do you understand, as Southern Baptist churches, we have 45,000 churches in the United States of America, but we only have 5,000 international missionaries who are employed with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we believe if we're going to reach this globe, we can no longer depend on just a few, 5,000 missionaries, but we must mobilize local churches just like you. If we take those 45,000 and get them mobilized, seems like we can make a much greater dent in the darkness than just depending on 5,000. So our ministry is doing just this. We take a local church just like you, and we join your hands with a church on the edge of darkness out in the jungle of Brazil where there's a high population of unengaged people, people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. We join your hands in a church planting partnership, and we facilitate that church planting partnership to such time that you no longer need us anymore. You can say, Brother Richie, we can do this without you. And our job is to work ourselves out of a job. And through that avenue, through that way of doing missions, we are seeing God reach a lot of people. And we're seeing a lot of churches planted and a lot of disciples made. And we're seeing the darkness push back and God do some tremendous things on the global front. We also believe that God gave the Great Commission not to a convention, not to a mission board, not to an association, not to a mission agency, but the authority of the Great Commission lies resident right here in the local church. And we want to mobilize your authority, and we want to use that authority as leverage in those places where the devil is ruling and reigning and just keeping people in the bondage of spiritual darkness and slavery. So we want to know that you can have a tremendous impact on this global economy, and especially on the spiritual realities that people live in today. You can, right here from this place, from Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, you can have a tremendous impact. Now, another reason why we are Link Up Missions is because, again, we want to mobilize the untapped power within the local church. Guys, listen, He gave us the Holy Spirit to be our power source. Amen? And He is. And you know, as Southern Baptists, we've become so afraid of Him. We've let our Pentecostal and charismatic brethren just cause us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. But He's given to us for us to move out into those dark places on this planet and preach the name of Jesus and lift high the Son of God, and He'll draw people to Him. But now get this. I want you to see this. And this is where I want you to see where you are so significant in this global plan that God has to reach this world. 45,000 Southern Baptist churches, remember? Now, of those 45,000, listen to this, 76%, a little over 76% of those churches have less than 300 people. And the majority of those have about 100 people. But somehow or another, as Southern Baptists, we have developed this model that sends a message that if your church doesn't have as many members as most of these towns in Southeast Georgia and Northeast Florida have, then you don't count. We've sent a message that unless your church budget is big enough to balance the national budget, then you don't count. But I want you to know that the untapped power of the Southern Baptist Convention is right here in Pleasant Hill and in churches just like you all throughout this land. So it's our ministry to help mobilize while we're stateside. Heather and I will be stateside this time until the month of May, and then we'll head back into the northeast of Brazil, and we'll be planting churches and training leaders among Brazil's unengaged people. Okay, brother, next slide. Let me take you into a typical village where we will minister, and you can tell these are mud houses, thatch roofs, and these people are just living in darkness. Most of them have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and that's hard for us to believe. In the land in which we live, where you can click a mouse on a computer and just pull up about anything that you want to pull up, but there are places and there are people who have never, ever heard. Okay, brother, next slide. And this is the way we do it. And by the way, we had a couple churches on the field with us, and the American church had partnered with a Brazilian church, and we were working out in a community, in a village in the jungle. And we just began to share, do evangelism that morning, and we said, we're going to have a worship service right under that tree right there in the middle of the place this afternoon. And as many of you as want to, we want you to come on along. And here we had church. It's amazing. Church is not defined by the building in which we sit. It's defined by the people who are there and the Savior whom we're worshiping and the Spirit who is preeminently present. And we had church right there. Let me show you some of the things that happened on the next slide. After we had worshiped and after the word had been preached, I was standing and I asked one of the pastors that we were working with to come and close us in prayer. And I noticed people began to come. And I had to stop him from praying. I said, wait a minute, brother, folks are coming. And there were people coming wanting to give their life to Christ. This gentleman right here did. This man was 78 years old, can't read or write. He said, I've never heard this before. I want to know more, but I'm afraid because I can't read. Will I be able to be saved? And I said, sir, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, not by reading. And we'll make sure that somebody preaches and reads and trains you and teaches you the story of Jesus Christ. And this man was saved right there under that tree, him and several others that morning, just because the gospel was taken to him. Okay, brother, go ahead with the next one. This is a typical Baptist church. Woo, you guys have a nice building. You know that. God has blessed you. Heather and I like preaching in places where there's life and where people are vibrant. And we know that this place didn't happen because you're a bunch of deadheads out here. We know that God's doing something in your midst, and that's refreshing for us to see. But look at the building that they have. And I want to tell you, they don't have air conditioning. It's sweltering hot in there. They're sitting on rough cut 2x6s, and there's not a person complaining because the temperature and thermostat's not set just right. Nobody's complaining because the pews are too hot. They are just grateful to be children of God. And the pastor of that little church right there, you talk to him and he's just so happy. He's so humbled. He's so honored to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You would think he's a pastor of First Baptist Jacksonville, Florida. And he's right out in the middle of the jungle. Okay, brother. We work in partnership with the Baptist College of Florida to train pastors in that area because the Achilles heel in the church planting process is having pastors that can lead churches. We can plant churches more quickly than we have pastors that are trained and prepared to go out and lead them. So we realized we had to pull back and begin to do some training. So we developed a program with the Baptist College of Florida whereby we certify these guys. The Brazilian Baptist Convention recognizes them. The Brazilian Mission Board employs them. They study with us for 2 years. We just graduated a group of 35 pastors and church leaders in November of 2010, and they are going out and serving in the jungle and kicking a hole in the darkness for the glory of the Lord, okay? This guy right here is not in our pastor training program because he's already such a fine deacon, we didn't want to ruin him. it's amazing what you run into down there in the jungle. And this little guy here lives in a little jungle village right down from us, and he's like grandchildren. He can come over and play, but he has to go home at night. You know what I mean? So we enjoy him. Okay, my brother, go right ahead. Let me show you where we are. Here's the continent of South America. Okay, next one. Here is Brazil, and we're working among a people group known as the Quilombolas. How many of you did not receive a set of South American prayer cards when you come in? If you did not, we've got a box full of them up here. Want you to have them. If you'll look on the second last card in your set of prayer cards, this is the people group that we are called to reach. There's about 750,000 of them scattered out throughout all of Brazil. The highest concentration of them lives in our state, right within a few hundred kilometers of our doorstep. The Quilombolas were runaway slaves. They ran away when Brazil was under dictatorship and when there were slaves there 100 to 200 years ago. And these guys escaped. They went into the jungle and they buried themselves in such places where they were not intending to ever be found again. Witch doctors ruled their communities. They worship, their main religion is animism and spiritism. They're just into everything that you can possibly imagine, living in darkness. Our job, one, is to find them and then begin to get them to a place where we can share the gospel with them. Okay, brother? This is how many, I don't know if you can see this, this is how many Kilombola's communities are around us. There is a huge population in our state of Maranhão in northeastern Brazil. Okay? Now, that is a quick whirlwind tour of Link Up Missions and where Heather and I are at work and what it is that God is doing as we are planting churches and training leaders and mobilizing churches here in the U.S. for international ministry and for global impact. And we thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you. Now, I want to spend the most of my time tonight preaching because that's what I am at heart. I'm just a preacher. So I want you to find your place with me in Psalm number 96. And I want to show you some things that the Lord has opened to me here in the Old Testament. Now, normally when we think of missions, we think of New Testament stuff. But God has always had a missionary heart. His desire has always been that the nations come to know Him. And I want to show you this in Psalm number 96. So if you have your Bible, I want you to follow along with me as I read. Notice what it is the Bible says. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, and He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. There are some truths here in this psalm that have radically changed my life. I mean, have literally moved us from the northeast of Florida to the northeast of Brazil. We have gone from living in the United States to living in a house in the jungle of Maranhão that has open eaves, no air conditioner, no hot water, where we have varmints that live with us and huge lizards that crawl into bed with us at night. And you know what? We have never been more fulfilled. We have never been more satisfied with what it is that we are seeing God do around us. And I believe this psalm helps to explain some of the things that we have experienced in our own lives and some of the things that we are seeing taking place around us. Now, I want to show you several things in introduction about this psalm. I want you to see that this psalm probably was a hymn. It probably was sung in many of the festivals and times of worship that were built into Israel's national calendar and into their schedule of holidays. And it was probably used to remind them of their missionary responsibility to the nations for the glory of the Lord. Now, like all good hymns, we can see that it has three stanzas. I want to point them out to you. Notice stanza one has a threefold refrain as the author says, sing, sing, sing in verses 1-6. And then as we come to verses 7-10, we see that he has another threefold refrain as he says, give, give, and give. And then we come down to verses 11 and 12, and we see him repeating the same pattern as he says, let the heavens, let the field, and let the earth. So there's three stanzas here, and it's pretty evenly divided. And he has a reason for doing it the way he did it. If you'll notice with me, the first two stanzas, they are given to us as imperatives. We are to sing, 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 and we are to give, give, give. And then in verses 11 through 12, let is in a verb tense in the original language that implies that if we do the first part that we are commanded in stanzas 1 and 2, then the last part in verses 11 and 12 will come to fruition. So I want us to look at it tonight in that respect. And I want to show you what it is that the psalmist is saying here about missions. And these things have radically changed my life. What are they? Well, I want to show you first that the Bible describes here for us the freshness that missions bring. The freshness that missions bring. You know, I'm convinced today that we need revival in our local churches. You know, we've come to the point, kind of like Vance Havner used to say in the days of old. He said, most churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and they end at 12 o'clock dull. Somehow or another, we just got used to what we do. And you would agree with me that we're in need of a fresh wind and a fresh moving of the Spirit of God. And I'm convinced that the way that revival is going to come and the way that freshness is going to enter into our sanctuaries again is through the door of global missions. Now notice what it is that the author says. I'm not just rattling on. Let me show you this in the authority of the Word. Look what he says as he gives us this threefold command to sing. He tells us in verse 1, he says, sing unto the Lord. What type of song? A new song. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with the old hymns. Boy, I love them. You love them. They teach us great theology. But look what he says. He says, sing a new song. Now it's interesting to me that he talks about a new song in the context of missionary endeavor. Now, how is it or why is it that he does that? I couldn't have answered this question to you just 5 or 10 years ago because I didn't know. But can I say to you that now, after being there, walking with God on the front lines, I have felt like for the past 4 years of my life, I'm walking in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. I've seen God do things that I've only read about in history books. I've seen God do things that up until now, I've only read about in the Bible. I've seen God do things that I've always wanted to see Him do, but didn't know if I ever would this side of glory. And I've seen Him do it on the front lines out there where light and darkness seem to be meeting and are locked in this eternal conflict over the destiny of the souls of men and women. And I'm seeing Him do these things. And guess what? It's in the context of seeing God do new things that people write new songs. You know, the book of Revelations talks about we're going to sing a new song. Why are we going to sing a new song in heaven? Because we're going to see so many new facets of God in glory that we've never seen this side of glory till our eternal occupation is probably going to be penning new songs to sing for His glory. Man, I'm telling you, I'm seeing Him do some things that are fresh and vibrant and exciting. I wish I had a couple hours to share with you, but I don't. But let me just share one with you, okay? We were teaching a group of pastors one night out in the jungle. And we got word sent to us from a pastor that was way on out that wanted to talk to me because he knows we have a ministry of connecting U.S. congregations just like you with Brazilian congregations just like he is for the purpose of reaching the unreached and planting churches. He said, Pastor Richie, come on down here, I want to talk to you. So I said, okay. So after our classes that evening, Heather and I got in the car and we rode about, I don't know, 30, 35 kilometers and we got there. And we walked into a place that, my goodness, was a tenth of the size of this one. And there was people packed in there, wall to wall. Hot, man, it was hot. And we walked in and the pastor was in the pulpit and they were having a normal meeting and this is what he said. He said, it's so good to have with us missionary Pastor Richie tonight and he's going to come and tell us about his ministry because we're interested in reaching these people who have never heard about Jesus and about having a partnership with a U.S. church. I said, all right, I'll do that. So I got up. In Brazil, their language is Portuguese, all Portuguese. So I had given this spiel about our ministry so many times in Portuguese. We'd only been there a little over a year, but I still had an interpreter with me. because I still had my linguistic training wheels on. And so I got up and I shared in Portuguese about our ministry. And man, they were all excited about the prospect of being able to do this. And after I shared, I sat down. Went and sat down on the front row. The only place I could sit, I was sitting right up next to my translator, almost on his lap. There's so many people scrunched in there. The pastor gets back up in the pulpit and he says this. He says, "It's so good to hear that, brother. We're glad that we're going to spend a time of prayer. I'm going to read some scripture and we're going to pray. And after I've prayed, Pastor Richie's going to come back up and preach for us tonight." Son, fear struck my heart. That wasn't part of the deal, brother. He just told me to come share about my ministry. He didn't tell me I had to preach there. The house was full. And I looked at my interpreter. He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "When they bow their heads to pray, let's get out of here. Let's run." He said, "You know you can't do that." I said, "Listen, I don't have anything prepared in English, let alone in Portuguese. What are we going to do?" He said, "I don't know, but you got to preach when he gets done praying." So, man, listen. He opened his Bible, and I want you to turn there with me. I want you to turn to the book of Mark. Mark's gospel and chapter number 16, the very last verses in the gospel of Mark. And when I read these verses, you are going to understand why it is that we as Southern Baptists stay away from them. Remember I told you we're scared of the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, we just let our friends that are more charismatic run us away because we're scared of what he's going to cause us to do. But this is the new light that I could have only seen this. I couldn't have understood this scripture in any other place except where I was. Freshness. Now I'm reading the scripture with different eyes because of what God has done. Let me read the scripture too. This is what that Brazilian pastor did. He got up and he read in Portuguese these verses. Verse number 17 of Mark 16. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." Now wait a minute. When he said that, it was almost like I went into a zone. I had never thought about that verse, brother, in that respect before. I'd always looked at it, and you know, in seminary we debate whether or not that's even a part of the Bible. I mean, verses 9 through 20, was that added by a later editor, or was it really penned by Mark? Can we trust it? Is it reliable? I mean, that's what we fight about here in the U.S., good stuff like that, you know, garbage. But I've always looked at that as new tongues, thinking, well, that's left for the Assembly of Gods and the Church of God people. That's not for us Baptists. But when that pastor read in Portuguese, "They shall speak with new tongues," and I was there fearing for my life because I had to preach in a tongue that is not my native tongue. Listen, I'm an old country boy from South Mississippi, raised on John Deere tractors and Red Man tobacco. You know what I mean. And I was in fear. But when he read that word, when he said the word new tongue, they were speaking new tongues, that was all I heard. And I went into a zone. And it was like there was nobody in that room but me and God. Have you ever had that type of experience with the Lord? Where you just, I mean, you're just there. You're fellowshipping with the eternal. And the next thing I remember was my translator pulling me back into reality. And he caught the same thing. He looked right at me and he said, "Man, that was for you." And the pastor prayed. And a peace came over me. And I stood up and preached. And listen to me. That was the first time, not only preached in Portuguese, but preached spur of the moment in Portuguese. When I got done, my interpreter looked at me and he said, he just looked, he was dumbfounded. He said, "Where did that come from?" And I said, "Brother, you of all people know where that comes from." And you know what that was? That was God kicking me off the cliff that night, saying, "You've been studying this language now for 2 years. And it's time that you stop depending upon your intellectual ability and start depending upon the Spirit of God." And I want to tell you, that was a new way. I'd never seen that verse before. And I want to tell you, if I live to be 300 years old, I'll never forget the significance and the fresh meaning that God packed into that verse that night in that little church. It was so filled with people and sweltering in heat. That's some of the things we're seeing take place. Let me show you something else, brother. Pull that slide up. Let me show you something fresh. One of the first churches we planted in 2004, we went out to this city, me and the pastor that I work with, who is my authority there. He's 83 years old. He's a Brazilian. We went out to this city, and we began to look around because we wanted to plant a church out there because there was nothing. And we went out there, and we found this building, and we were standing right up in that ledge. You see just behind those two, that ledge that was there? We stood up in that ledge, And we were looking, and we could tell, you know, this looks like it was going to be a church. And as I was standing there again, God was just flooding my mind with Scripture. I was thinking of the parable of wheat and tares, because you can see there's weeds and there's trees growing in the church. I was thinking of the parable in Isaiah 5 of the overgrown vineyard. And I was just having a moment with God again, standing on the ledge of that door. And we felt a presence behind us. And turn around and look, and there was this little girl here on the left. And she said, "Can I help you, gentlemen?" And of course, she was speaking in Portuguese. We said, "Yeah, I am Pastor Richie. This is Pastor Boliviana from Cutarupu. And we're out here because we feel like God wants us to start an evangelical church out here." And as we talked to her, she began to cry. She said, 10 years ago, a missionary came through here, and he preached the gospel. And there was an immediate response to the gospel. There was a lot of energy around it. And we began to build a church 10 years ago. And then the missionary left town. And when the missionary left, the work died. And she said, "Now there's only two believers left here in the city, me and one other girl. I named her Lydia." She was kind of that Acts chapter 16 girl. And today, when I see her, her name is Lydia. And we began to work out there, and there's a church working out there, because our model is to avoid what happened there. We want to leave a healthy church in our wake that's going to survive and thrive even after Pastor Richie's dead and gone. A church that'll be affecting generations to come. And that's our model. That's what we do. This is one of our students. His name is Joao. The thing about Brazilians, some of them are as white as you and I, and some of them are dark as Joao. And they seem to be colorblind. They don't pick up on it like we do. Joao is a man of God. He studied with us for 2 years. He was ordained. The convention has recognized him, and he is now out in this place. It's called Sejano. And let me show you the next picture. In 2 years, this is what happened. Now, here's the good news. That's not American money that did that. That's not American church construction teams that did that. That's what happens when we empower these Brazilians with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now this church is not only reaching its community, they've already started other churches. So not only do we have daughter churches in Brazil, we've got granddaughter churches now in Brazil, because these people are blazing a path through the jungle with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's fresh things. No wonder the psalmist said, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Makes my heart want to sing, brothers. And if I did, you wouldn't want to listen. You'd want to go out, I'm telling you. Let me show you what else the Bible says. Not only does this psalm show us the freshness that missions bring, but it also shows us the proper field of missionary work, or the proper field of our missionary endeavors. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm number 96. Notice how it uses all these words. In verse number 1, it uses the word earth. And then in verse number 3, another word. In verse number 3, we see, declare his glory among the heathen. We see another word. We see in verse number 3, peoples. We see nations in verse number 5. And all of these words are referring to people who lived outside of contact with the covenant people of God. They were outside the knowledge of God. So when the Bible uses words like nations and peoples and earth and world, it's talking not about people who have heard the gospel but just haven't responded. It's talking about people who have never heard. And this is what radically changed my life and my view of missions, and ultimately pushed us out there. It's one word. It's the word access. And this is what this psalm is talking about. We are to go where people have no access to the gospel. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a church. There's not a gospel radio station. There's not a preacher on TV. If they wanted to hear, they couldn't hear, because it's not available in their culture. That's what the Bible's talking about here when it uses these words. And you see, the difference here, because I have to answer this question in mobilization when we're working with churches. So many people tell me, "Well, Brother Richie, it's all well and good that you're going to the heathen and to the quilombolas of Brazil, but there's lost people right here in Georgia. We don't have to go around the world to find lost people." Let me tell you the difference. Here in Georgia, people have to hide to keep from hearing the gospel. Son, there's gospel tracts on every bathroom that you go in a public restaurant, isn't there? You can't push the seat button or scan button on your car radio without passing 5 or 6 or 7 gospel preaching stations. You can't flip through with the remote control on your TV without seeing preachers preaching the gospel. You can't drive down the road without seeing billboards. You can't drive through a community without seeing Baptist churches everywhere. Hey, listen, if people in Georgia don't want to hear the gospel, bro, they got to put on blinders and stick their head in the sand because it's here, huh? Amen. But listen to me. Where we are, if people wanted to hear the gospel, they could not because it's not there. We're talking about virgin territory. And that's what brings me so much joy in taking folks like you who have the authority of the Great Commission given to you by Jesus Christ, who have the power of the Great Commission resident in you because of the Holy Spirit of God, and taking you to places where the gospel has never been, and watching God do a work in your wake that leaves churches behind you that will be reaping the harvest until Jesus comes again. I talked to a church just the other day. They said, "Brother, we're a very mission-minded church." I said, "Where are you going?" They say, "Well, we do work in the Bahamas." I'm thinking, dear Lord, just what unreached people group is in the Bahamas? That's not missions. That's a vacation. Would to God that he'd send me to Bahamas. Talked to another guy the other day. He said, "God just called me to Aruba." I thought, God didn't call you anywhere, man. We live in the jungle. We have to sleep under mosquito nets, not to keep mosquitoes out, but to keep iguanas out of our bed at night and bats from biting us. Not exalting ourselves. I'm just saying that where in those places are people who have never heard? So if we're going to spend God's money that he's given us, let's go to where there's darkness. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. Let me show you something else as we're hurrying along. I'm almost done with you. Not only do we see the proper field of mission, but we see the singular focus of missionary preaching. Look what he says. What do we do when we get there? Look, well, just look. Let the psalm speak to you. Look what he says. We are to sing unto the Lord. Verse number 3. We are to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. Why? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord. What do we say? Listen, this is what we do. We go and we lift up God. So the subject of missionary preaching is not to be focused on the poor little heathen that's living in the jungle. They're not the focus of our sermon and our message. But the great God who inhabits eternity is. And when we lift him up, he draws men and women and boys and girls unto himself. I'll tell you one more story. I'm almost done with you, I promise. Had a church on the field one time. We were going way out to a place where, as far as we know, the gospel had never been. Don't know if most of these places have never seen anybody from the United States. Well, they may have heard about the U.S., and they're always curious about us and want to see us and hear us talk English, but never have they met us. And we was going to one of those places. It was way out there. Had to rent 2 four-wheel drive trucks that have snorkels on them because literally we will put them underwater crossing rivers. And if they can't breathe above the cab, we're done for. So as we're going out there, we go out there and we cross several rivers and going through the woods and through the jungle. I'm talking about rough place. We come to this one stretch. It has a long sand bed. Sand bed's probably, 300-400 yards wide. The road goes right through it. Well, everybody that's driven in sand like us, we know the rule, the number one rule when you're driving through sand is you don't stop. You keep moving. So we thought our drivers knew that. Well, one of the drivers takes off. He gets right in the middle of that sand bed, and for some unknown reason, he stops. When he stops, we knew that he was done. Because as soon as he started again, you know what happened. He spun and down he went. So we thought, no problem. We've got another truck that was waiting for us back there just in case we got stuck in the middle. He wouldn't be stuck also. And we turned around and looked to our horror. He didn't wait. He was right on our bumper. He had to stop too. Now here we are in the jungle of northeastern Brazil. It's almost dark. And we've got 2 four-wheel drives bogged down with a band of missionaries that hardly any of them speak Portuguese. What are we going to do? So we're sitting around trying to figure it out, and one of the guys that was with us was a music minister, and he just went to the back of one of the trucks and pulled out his guitar and sat down on the hood and started playing and singing and praising the Lord. And as he began to do that, he just kind of drew everybody around him. And it's like, you know, we just kind of all gravitated toward that worship, that spirit of worship. And we all began to sing, stuck in a sand bed. strange thing began to happen. We began to look around us, and faces began to appear in the bushes. We thought, oh my God, there's the headhunters. We're fixing to be eaten. But these faces, these people heard us praising the Lord. They knew it was something strange that they wanted to be a part of, so they began to ease up. And then they'd step out into the sand bed, and we just kept on singing and kept on praising the Lord. Before you know it, man, there was a congregation of Brazilians around us. And we began to communicate with them, and they said, well, what are y'all doing here? And we told them what we were doing here and said, but we're going to Travosa, but we can't do it because we're entolado. We're stuck here in the sand. And one of the Brazilian guys looked around, he said, Pastor, I believe there's enough of us here now to push y'all out. And guess what? They pushed us out of the sand, and we went on our way. God taught me another fresh lesson. Listen to this. If we'd have sat down and whined and cried like most of us have a tendency to do, and like I have a tendency to do, oh God, here I am in Brazil putting my life on the line for you. I've left everything I love, my family, my house, my truck, everything. And here we are stuck in the sand getting eat up by mosquitoes and anacondas and headhunters. And it looks like you could at least get us out of this spot. We'd still be sitting there. Probably the trucks would have rusted down to nothing. But let me tell you what worship did. Because we focused on God, not because we were spiritual, just because that's the way it happened. That worship attracted a crowd around us that was able literally to push us out of the sand. Now here's the lesson. When you get your ox in the ditch, don't do you any good or anybody around. You start whining and crying and belly aching and moaning. But do like Job and said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And somehow or another, God will push your ox out of the ditch. I believe that. Finally, and I'm closing, not only I want you to see the focus of missions, but I want you to see the exciting future that missions promise. Now look at this. This is amazing to me that a guy who lived more than 1,000 years before the first coming of Christ was able to say this. Look what he said in the closing verses. Verse number 96, he said this, verse number 12. Let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For He's coming. He's coming to judge the earth, and He'll judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. You know what He's saying in here? Look, this is that last stanza where it's in that subjunctive mood where if we do the sing, sing, sing and the give, give, then this will happen. So this is what He's saying. If we do our part, this is what will take place. And this psalmist was able to see that. He was able to look all the way past the first coming of Jesus Christ, where He came as a humble, suffering servant to die on a cross to redeem us from the slave market that we were sold upon, all the way to the second coming of Christ, where He's going to return in glorious victory to rule and reign upon planet Earth. Now that's amazing to me that psalmist was able to look that far down in the future and see it. And guess what he saw it through? He saw it through the missionary responsibility of the nation of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a greater responsibility than they this side of the cross. We've been given the Great Commission. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can go and preach the glorious riches of Christ to people who have never heard His name. And the Bible says when we do that, then He will come. Now listen, I don't know what your eschatology is, and it really doesn't matter. You can work it out however you want to. But the Bible's saying this, basically. The Bible's basically saying, He's not coming until we get going. So we can't sit around and say, oh Lord Jesus, would You come today, if we're not doing anything to get this gospel around the globe. You know why? Because I think that's the greatest indicator of the end of times. When the gospel is in every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue on this planet. When there's nobody without access. Don't mean everybody's going to be saved, but it means everybody has access to it. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter number 24, and I'm closing, I promise you. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 14. Matthew 24 and verse number 14. Matthew clarifies, or the Lord Jesus clarifies exactly what it is that this psalmist was seeing 1,000 years before Christ came for the first time. Look what Christ said. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world. For a witness unto whom? All nations. And then what's going to take place? The end will come. Ladies and gentlemen, not only will missions bring revival to a local church, but I believe that revival, or I believe that missions is ultimately going to usher in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who knows where that last people group is, where that last tongue, where that last tribe is, but I think they're out there. And I think when the gospel is taken to them, that man, the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll. The glory of the Lord's going to step forth. The sound of the trumpet's going to blare through our ears. What a day, glorious day, that will be. And it's going to happen when people just like you and just like me take this great commission seriously and we get going so that He will get coming. Would you stand with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for saving our souls and giving us an eternal purpose here on this planet, and that is to be involved in getting the gospel around this world in every tribe, every people, every tongue upon this planet. Thank you for Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and for Brother Boyette and for the desire that they have to be a part of ushering in the glory of the Lord through global evangelization. And God, I pray you're going to encourage them. I pray you're going to use them like they've never thought possible. And the light is going to shine forth right here from Patterson, Georgia, all the way to the ends of the earth because of the obedient response of your people who have stepped out in faith in response to the Great Commission. So God, would you bless those who have heard tonight? And would you take the Spirit that is upon them and spread Him around until the whole world hears through your church who's taking it forth. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Boyette, I'll turn it over to you, sir.